You know, I put all of this educational material and protocols together because I want to help, you know, men and women everywhere get back to their roots and have amazing health, and most importantly, not be reliant or dependent on a healthcare system that may sometimes help, but really is a primary goal of making money, exploitation, and really, objectively, at least the third leading cause of death is undergoing Western medical treatment.
Okay, welcome back to part two of our interview with Dr. Andrew Kaufman. He's the creator of a very powerful docuseries course that we are streaming for free at brightu.com. It's called Terrain, the Workshops, Natural Healing by Andrew Kaufman. And as I mentioned in part one of our interview, which if you missed it, you can find that at brightvideos.com. We want to talk about turpentine, which comes from trees, and also shikimic acid, which is found in pine needles. And Dr. Kaufman, again, welcome to part two. And I got to tell you, I intentionally grow loblolly pine trees in Texas. I keep planting more and more every year because I can harvest the pine needles. I can make pine needle tea, and it's rich in vitamin C. It's rich in shikimic acid, which is what's in the Roche drug, Tamiflu. They basically harvest it from pine needles. And I found out that not only do I enjoy this delicious tea from pine needles, but my goats nibble on the pine needles every chance they get. They love to eat the pine needles. So, you know, it's natural medicine for all of us. But talk to us about, you know, tree-based medicine, which also gets into Chinese, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, and why the medical establishment always tells you that, oh, that's not real medicine. You got to buy these, you got to take this synthetic chemotherapy or something. But go for it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot to unpack there. And I think if you want to talk about how, you know, natural medicine used to be the predominant paradigm of medicine. It was naturopathy and homeopathy in the United States. And this was really true until the Flexner Report in the early 20th century, which was a concerted effort by like the robber barons, the oil oligarchs, to subvert medicine to a pharmaceutical allopathic model, the cut, burn, poison model. And so a lot of things happened then. And if we talk about the pine tree and turpentine, which is definitely distinct from pine needles, although I think there are value in both, this is something that was used as a medicine. In fact, if you go to the Library of Congress website and search their archive books and put in turpentine as a search term, you'll find dozens and dozens of medical books from the 1900s and earlier touting the benefits of turpentine. Or if you look at the 1898 Merck Manual, for example, before it was removed, you'll see that it was listed as a treatment for something like 100 different conditions, including serious life-threatening conditions like encephalitis and yellow fever and many others. And then the FDA, when it was established, they actually banned turpentine from being an ingredient or used for medicinal purposes, but they grandfathered in Vicks VapoRub as the only product that still contains turpentine, although it's not allowed to be listed as an active ingredient. And in fact, it's only on the outer box that it's listed. On the little tub label itself, it leaves it off. So this has been subverted from modern medicine because it is one of the most powerful healing agents that has really been known throughout history. And this is something I learned about originally from Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and now have experience with hundreds of clients who have learned about it from me and have had just amazing results. And also, most people think it's from the synthetic chemical industry, and that it's poisonous, and it can be labeled as such depending on where it's sold. But what turpentine really is it's just the distilled resin from a pine tree. It's called the oleoresin, and it's like the sap, but it's a different fluid that circulates through the tree. And this has been traditionally harvested and you can even find videos. I talk more about this in the course, of course. And if you fast forward to the modern research literature, it's not the easiest to find, but you can find quite a number of studies looking at turpentine. And what they show is that there are animal studies, for example, where if they give someone turpentine and a poison, that it protects the animals from the effect of the poison. And this is even true when they used a lethal dose of radiation to animals, that they were protected, where they all died in the radiation-only group. When they got turpentine, something like 80% of them survived. You can even find clinical studies on humans, especially for, you know, skin issues like folliculitis, for example, where it shows a great benefit just by putting topical turpentine, or even a Russian study, which I had translated, which has people with COPD, right, emphysema, and they were doing baths with turpentine mixed into the bath, so they're breathing in the vapors as well as getting it through the skin, because turpentine is readily absorbed through the skin, and they had amazing outcomes. In fact, they even reversed pulmonary hypertension, which is something in Western medicine is basically will get you on a lung transplant list. So it's an extremely powerful agent of healing, and I have developed my own hypothesis for how I think it works and why it's so effective.
I'm sorry to interject. I have so many questions for you about this topic, but I want to add to this. You know, some people may be hearing this for the first time, like turpentine. What? I thought that was, you know, paint thinner or something. But if you look at the history of natural medicine, there are many medicines that come from tree resins. Biblical, frankincense and myrrh, both of those. I mean, well, bush resin, I guess, in the name of frankincense and myrrh. I mean, on top of that, what? There's latex from trees like dragon's blood, as it's called in Amazonian medicine, sangre de drago, right? That's a latex from a tree. There's a resin called Google, G-U-G-G-U-L, or Guggle, I don't know how to pronounce it, that has, you know, cardiovascular improvements and so on. I mean, this is not some crazy thing. This has been part of traditional medicine across every major culture for all of known human history, hasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure about every major culture, but it certainly is documented back in ancient Rome.
Well, I mean, it's in Ayurvedic medicine, India. It's in Chinese medicine. It's in Persian medicine. I don't know about Russian, but I'm just thinking the major world civilizations all and South America. I mean, right? They all have.
Are you talking about tree-based medicines in general or turpentine specifically?
Just resins, just like bush resins or tree resins. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, in common parlance, essential oils are essentially mostly from trees, right? You mentioned frankincense and myrrh, but the essential oil is usually gotten from the leaves of various trees. You know, tea tree oil is another one I would mention. It also occurs on, you know, shrubs and flowering plants as well. But even something as common as aspirin, and I'm not a big advocate of aspirin in general, but it comes from the bark of the willow tree. Right. So there are many, many examples of this. When I mentioned ancient Rome, I was actually speaking specifically of turpentine.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Which goes back at least that far as a medicinal agent.
So about turpentine, then, is there a specific species of tree that is best sourced from, or what kind of form of turpentine should people be looking for if they want to acquire some? But I also want to advise them to definitely watch your course to get more, you know, more instruction and more detail. But tell us about sourcing it.
So the turpentine has been made from different species of pine trees. And in the southern United States, there is a typical species. I don't recall the name right now, but in other places, they've used different species of pine trees and even other conifer trees. So, but what's most important is that you're getting pure turpentine, and usually on the label it would specify pure gum spirits of turpentine. And there are, two brands that I've tested and recommend through personal use, but that's not to say that other brands aren't also the right substance. The thing to be cautious about really is, one, that it's something that's not actually turpentine. Like if it's called pine essential oil, for example, it may be from the pine needles and not from the oleoresin. So that's something different. It's not turpentine. And the other issue is that there are some preparations that are, paint, they're sold as paint thinners because it is that. And in fact, I think it's the same solvent properties that makes it a good paint thinner, which is what helps our bodies heal. That are adulterated with other chemicals, so things like benzene are definitely poison. So, be cautious buying it from a hardware store or an art supply store, although you may actually find products in those stores that are the pure real thing. You just have to rely on the label to say pure gum spirits of turpentine and no other ingredients.
Got it. Now, you said it's absorbed readily through the skin because of its solvent properties. That reminds me of DMSO. And are there people using those in combination topically?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's something that I advocate because I view those as well as essential oils to be in the same category of natural healing materials, which I call healing solvents. Because we have this issue, and I know you're familiar with this, of toxicity that we hinted at, but many of the toxins that we're exposed to, aside from heavy metals, are fat soluble. And this includes most pharmaceuticals and many industrial chemicals, all the chemicals of the category known as persistent organic pollutants, which are like the forever chemicals, the PFAS chemicals, PCBs and
dioxins.
DDT, yeah. Dioxins, all of those. And those have been shown, to accumulate up the food chain and concentrate up the food chain. So they may be, initially in the soil, they get into plants, and then the animals that eat the plants and the animals that eat those animals. And each time it goes up the food chain, it becomes more concentrated. And when they look at fat biopsies, breast milk, menstrual fluid, all of these parts of the body, you can find these substances. Even when the person, doesn't know how they're exposed, even for substances like DDT and related compounds that have been taken off the market many decades ago, they still persist, right? That's why they're called forever chemicals. And I actually think that this is a big part of the obesity epidemic, because if you look at, the amount of calories people consume, the amount of exercise, it would seem that the population should be getting thinner rather than fatter, but that is what's happening. And these chemicals have been shown over and over again to accumulate in adipose tissue because, in other words, in our body fat, because they are fat soluble. And I believe them to be obesogenic, and there is research supporting that as well. And it's because the body has a really difficult time of getting rid of these things because we are essentially water-based. We do have fats in our body, obviously, but we have special mechanisms. Like this is really what lipoproteins are, like what cholesterol is carried in, that allow our body to work with these fatty substances in an environment of water. But we don't have a mechanism to deal with these synthetic made poisons because they weren't in existence at the time our bodies developed these systems, however that came about according to your beliefs. So what something like turpentine does is that it's lipophilic. It is amazing at dissolving these fatty substances. And that's exactly why it's a very good paint thinner, especially for artists that use oil paints, because those pigments are extremely fatty and very difficult to clean and dissolve. And turpentine is the best substance for that. And so there is at least one study that showed clinically using a lipophilic substance can increase your body's excretion of these fat-soluble toxins. So I think that's exactly what's going on. So if you take something else like DMSO, now DMSO is unique because it's soluble in fat and water, or oil and water. It crosses that boundary from nonpolar to polar substance, kind of like alcohol does, but even more so. So if you combine turpentine and DMSO, you're covering the entire spectrum of everything that is just barely soluble in water to something that doesn't want to go anywhere near water by combining those two. And DMSO, it not only is absorbed through the skin, but it actually anything you mix with it also gets absorbed through the skin. So you have to be careful when you're handling it, because if you have some grease or debris on your fingers and then you touch it, it'll actually bring that through the skin. It's even been used as a drug delivery device, sometimes for nefarious purposes. Like there was actually one murder of a pathologist murdered his wife by mixing succinylcholine with DMSO and putting it on her skin, and it paralyzed her. She stopped breathing and died. Don't use it for those purposes, but so it can exert its effects internally, even though you're only putting it on the skin.
So yeah, this is extraordinary. And you know, DMSO has such unique properties. You mentioned, I think, the most important ones, but it's highly polar molecule that can carry other things through the skin and then can help them penetrate into lipids inside the body. So when you said you combine turpentine with DMSO, that seems like that could be really an extraordinary combination. I've heard of many other combinations of DMSO, and one of them that I've used on my animals to deal with fatty sort of like tumors is to combine DMSO with hematoxylin, which is that blue dye that shrinks, that starves tumor cells. And it works amazingly. And I've even used that internally with or a friend of mine with his dog. And that dog was slated to die within weeks, couldn't eat without vomiting, and 3 weeks later was completely returned to normal status, happy, running around, eating everything. And that was just from oral DMSO plus hematoxylin, believe it or not.
Well, I've had very similar. So first of all, there's a lot of veterinary research done with DMSO. And in fact, if you go to any veterinarian's office, there's about a 50-50 shot that they would actually have DMSO that they might use for various applications.
No kidding.
And one of these studies showed where they injected cancerous tumors with DMSO showed that the tumors went away. So it may even be just the DMSO that's giving most of the benefit, in the way that you've used it. It's hard to say for sure. I've done, my dog was pretty much, half dead. Like you could smell the rotting flesh of his body. And we did a 28-day protocol with DMSO orally. And it was like a new lease on life. I mean, he was like 10 years younger after that in terms of energy level, physical activity. And of course, after smelling like DMSO, which is a little bit unpleasant for a month, then he smelled much better after that. No longer
like that like sulfur smell.
But, but my mixture is actually with DMSO, turpentine, and castor oil together.
Oh wow!
And
for topical use.
Yes, for topical use, and it's actually something that it's in my Love Your Liver terrain workshop, which is part of the course, and you apply it over the liver and gallbladder area before you do coffee enemas. But I have had some clients who were having a gallbladder attack, and they were, you know, basically knew that they were going to be recommended to have surgery. And just by putting this solvent over their gallbladder area on the skin, they were able to arrest the gallbladder attack.
Wow.
And I found that it was used for gallbladder attacks in those old medical books. Like, after I learned about it from my own experience, I went back and saw that that is a classic use of it. So and there are many, many other ways to use it effectively, but that way is particularly powerful.
Well, I knew there was a reason why I like to grow pine trees, because I saw it as really powerful medicine in multiple forms. Now I'm going to have to figure out how to collect the resin and distill it at home, because I like to be, you know, self-reliant with medicine. I want to remind our viewers here, the course is called Terrain, the Workshops, Natural Healing by Andrew Kaufman. It's available free of charge. Registration is required, just with your email. And it begins streaming April 11th with one episode streaming each day free of charge, or you can purchase it. And then you get to download all the files and view them whenever you want. And by the way, it's okay with us if you want to put those files on a thumb drive and share them with a friend who may also benefit from this information. And you get a lot more details about turpentine and DMSO in this course, as you're hearing. So Dr. Kaufman, we're out of time here for part two. Any final words you want to leave our audience with?
Well, I just want to back up what you just said, because, you know, I put all of this educational material and protocols together because I want to help, you know, men and women everywhere get back to their roots and have amazing health. And most importantly, not be reliant or dependent on a healthcare system that may sometimes help, but really is a primary goal of making money, exploitation, and really, objectively, at least the third leading cause of death is undergoing Western medical treatment. So this information is so important to our future sovereignty, to being able to exist in a parallel system should the surveillance totalitarian state be manifested. So please do share it far and wide, spread this information. And if people want to learn more, send them back to me and Mike, where we have even more information for you to learn.
I'm glad you said that. And I would just add that with what's happening in the world right now, because of the destruction of energy infrastructure and supply chains and a loss of manufacturing capability and force majeure being declared by, you know, many organizations around the world that make things, I would say to people, your Western medicine supply chain is very unreliable and subject to collapse. So, you know, there's never been a more important time to take charge of your own health, to learn what you can use yourself, what you can acquire without a prescription, but use it responsibly. So get the knowledge from this course, you know, do your research, work with a local naturopath if you can. And hopefully they're not just doing green allopathy, which is typically what they often do, unfortunately. But learn from this and use it responsibly to help save lives and help end human suffering. So, Dr. Kaufman, it's a pleasure to know you. Thank you for your work and thank you for your time today. And I really look forward to watching this course myself. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you again for your time. And for those watching, if you missed part one of this interview, that's also available at brightvideos.com. And share the link to this video, because it can help a lot of people who might otherwise make bad decisions about, you know, things like chemotherapy, which can really damage their brains and their bodies and their muscles and their livers and kidneys. I mean, oh, and heart damage. Oh, my goodness. So share this information, share this interview, and thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for brightvideos.com. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved, or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. HealthRangerStore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.